Welcome back to Reflections. This is your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is Edmundo Rodriguez, a custom broker. I knew he started young, but I didn't realize it was, you know, 18, 17 years old, first year of university, and that he started university much younger than I ever imagined. And kudos to you. That's fantastic. And we were talking about Nestor Reyes, and you're talking about, incidentally, and I'm going to be talking hopefully towards the end, an event I went to at Plaza Las Americas, with Nelia Merced, Miss World, Lady Forsyth, fantastic exhibition that she has between Macy's and Penny's and Plaza Las Americas. And then she was introducing her book. It's called Wilnelia, Una Vida Entre Dos Mundos. But one of the things her husband, Bruce Forsyth, had a saying, we're talking about, you know, Nestor Reyes, had a saying, it's nice to see you and it's good to see you nice. That was the thing he would say to people. And she's saying, you know, that word nice, you can't really translate it into Spanish. And I always like these words. Is there a translation? But I don't think there is for nice. You know, and we do use it in Puerto Rico. My wife, when she meets somebody like Edmundo, says, hey, being nice. You know, which is a combination of being a buena gente and also, you know, carries himself or herself well, you know, mm-hmm. and and Wilnelia wants to bend for Bruce Forsyth was nice. So anyway, Nestor, buena, buena gente. Well, in other words, we use it simpático. My roommate for many years, my best friend, and Tom Gilmore, he used to love the word simpático. And he's an American, Tom Gilmore, and he never lived in Latin American country or Spanish country, and he'd say, that person he's really simpático. He loved that word, and then but simpático is kind of charming, you know. It's more an outwardly, you know, thing. The nicest has a little bit more different connotation. Well, anyway, so you get into Nestor Reyes and.
We have missed something very important. You mentioned that I am a licensed customs broker, U.S. customs
right.
broker.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to briefly explain what that is.
No, right.
You know,
right.
Because any shipment which arrives from a foreign country with a value over $2,500 requires the services of a licensed U.S. customs broker.
Right.
So you take a national exam, which is provided twice a year. In April and October, and you have to pass with over 75, and then you have to pass the background check, which includes not only related to whether you have any problems with the law, but also that you can manage finances, because sometimes you will handle dollars, big dollar amount for third parties
right.
while making the payments to customs, et cetera. So Puerto Rico being an island and producing about 10% of the U.S. consumption of medicines, among other commodities, we need to import various components or raw materials to manufacture many of the medicines we then sell all over the world. And that's why during, I was licensed in 1982. I started studying about 1980, 81. The first one, as you say, do you remember you mentioned exams? I studied 6 weeks, and I had a 73. And I protested, but at that point in time, a protest from a Latin guy in Puerto Rico wouldn't be taken in good course at the World Trade Center, which is where Customs had its operations to handle classification, et cetera.
So you had a 73 and you needed a 75?
Yes.
Well, 2 points.
one answer. I only had to change one answer. And there were a few which had we had problems that it had two answers. Okay. So the exam had errors. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, then I studied 6 months, and I was the highest grade in the south of the United States, which
includes, the second time you took it?
Yeah, the second time.
Okay.
Which
that's called
Florida.
That's called perseverance.
Yes. So you didn't want to give me the 2 points. Now I'm going to be the highest grade in all of the United States for that exam, for the south region. Okay. I was already general manager and vice president of Nestor Reyes Inn. I opened the maritime business. In 2 years that we opened, then we became also the largest licensed custom broker, both maritime and air. So I started being the largest air. And then when I opened the maritime section in 2 years, I was the largest overall of all Puerto Rico. And I continued to do that. And then we had a fire, which we lost everything. By 1983, and we have to resurface like the Phoenix. And even the insurance guy, the adjuster, gave me space in Old San Juan so we can continue operating. And it was not a Puerto Rican, but a Cuban guy who brought me a check for everything they owe me to help me start again the business.
So let me make sure we have the chronology. You enter as a messenger and
1973. Then I became an accountant.
Then you begin. You continue to study. Then you join full time, in 77, and then you take your license in 80.
No. Before that, I was general manager because one day he was going on a trip. He was with wife and son, and he arrived to the airport office. The general manager presented a
resignation
letter.
Left him hanging.
So he told me, I have to get into that plane. I will leave you all of this. If you manage to stay alive 2 weeks, you remain general manager. And that's what I did. So I had to work days and night, and he left me a lot of example of letters so I could study and make letters and answer if many things he wasn't able to do because of time constraints.
Right.
So I passed that very difficult test.
You became
general manager of the
without
airport
being
operation.
A licensed broker.
Without being a licensed broker.
Okay. Yes. I follow you.
I worked 9 years before being a licensed broker.
Wow.
On the ninth year, I decided now I'm going to take my license.
And you had to take. Well, the courses are what?
I took a course in the United States, also in the World Trade Center.
But basically,
it was a review to help me with the exam, basically.
You had 9 years of experience.
Nine years of experience,
you know?
Yes.
Wow. Why do you think it took you so long to get the license?
Because I was
too busy
taking a business. When I took the exam, when I purchased the business from 4 employees, I had 96. And 5 offices.
Nestor Reyes still.
At Nestor Reyes.
No, but with Nestor Reyes.
With Nestor
the
Reyes.
Owner. Okay.
Yeah, but I was the one.
You were running the show.
Yeah, completely, since 1980.
Okay.
And I purchased in 2002 after working 29 years.
When we were together, Nestor Reyes was, you still weren't the owner, but you were running it, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
I was running since 1980. Mm-hmm.
And where does he? He's traveling and you know what? Where is he there in all this time?
Well,
he's the owner, but he just trusted you.
He did audits. He worked with accounting, and he had an apartment in Miami, Orlando, right in the middle of downtown, with a Mercedes-Benz downstairs. So he had the good life. He called me once a day. So until 2002, I already say, okay, I was already vice president. I was supposed to have stock, which never materialized, things like that. But then I say, okay, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in 2000, 2001.
You're very patient, man.
He spent 1 year making sure I could run the business. So we made an agreement. I run the business 1 year with your interference, but
without your daily call.
And then at the end of the year when we negotiated, I said, but whatever I pay you this first year goes against what I owe you.
Yeah.
So we made an agreement, but he wanted to sell me the going concern. I said, No. I want the going concern. I want you to buy you the building I made for you. Mm-hmm. So I bought both the building. Yeah.
That was in Puerta Tierra.
Yes.
Behind.
Next to Dueña's trailer, in front of Pier 16.
Sí, sí. Yes. ¿Cómo se llama la de eso de? I know. I'm thinking the steel Abarca.
After Abarca, yes. Yeah, yeah, you could enter after Abarca, or you could enter
that was
through
a very nice
Dueña's trailer.
That was a really nice building. Yeah.
But then I had to sell it. Because of what happened with the closing of the government of Puerto Rico in 2007 and other economic factors concerning real estate, etc. Partially elimination of 936.
I suffered amounting,
you know, you had X number of years.
For 2006 was the final tale of the
combination. This is like a perfect storm when you're in the water with a boat and you have the perfect storm. So I did sell, and with that I was able to pay Banco Popular completely. I sold on a Friday to the municipality of San Juan.
Mm-hmm.
You
sold the building.
The building. With that, I paid, I purchased for, he financed me for 5 years on a monthly payment, no interest, which was very good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to assume all debt and all problems with all of the employees.
So
when I sold, we just kept eventually three offices, then two. They still have the Aguadilla office because now everything is electronic.
Is it still in that Isla building?
Isla building, eighth floor, overlooking the San Juan Bay.
So we
can know and tell any customer.
You've been there since about 2003?
Well, we went out for a few years and then we came back. We were also in Mercantil Plaza for a few years.
Oh, I didn't know.
Because
that part,
there was a problem. They were not paying the electricity at Isla. Isla had a problem. Uh-huh. And then they sold. And when they sold, then I moved back to the new owner, etc. And then he sold again.
In the same floor?
In the same floor. I took the same floor.
Persevering.
Yeah. But that was in 2002 I purchased. But in 2005, then I purchased a second business, which you were involved in the transaction. What used to be Puerto Rico Export Company, the first operation to be a hub for exportation and warehousing for the Caribbean in Foreign Trade Zone number 61. Which we inaugurated. We were in building number one.
That's Cataño, no?
That's Guaynabo.
It's Guaynabo.
Although you enter through Cataño, it is actually Guaynabo.
Wow.
You know,
okay.
Puerto Rico electoral maps, as we say.
Sí.
So by 2005, we had two businesses. And then in 2007, we have to sell the real estate of one. But with that, I started again, no debt whatsoever. In fact, Banco Popular, I sold him.
When you said you sold, this is the import-export.
No, I sold the building. The import and export of Néstor Reyes.
You had two buildings.
IMEX continues to be in the same space. Right. Still within la Compañía de Comercio y Exportación.
Because you had another operation besides the what you purchased from Andrés Julia. Right, you had another operation, no?
No, we had what I purchased with Andres Julia, and then we acquired another area which we sublease to other clients.
Okay.
So I have part like a real estate and part like FTC operation.
The export operation.
Import and export operation, warehousing in the foreign trade zone. Okay. We handle just-in-time manufacturing for many companies in the island. And we have cold storage racks for wines and merchandise that requires controlled temperature.
Yeah, so we got a 3 minutes of more or less in the second segment. I don't know if we have time to explain the because you best known in terms of the things that you really promote and spend a lot of time pushing and teaching and educating the foreign trade zone.
I served four governors pro bono. But I was Once when Fortunio was in charge of economic development, not yet under Rosselló, I indicated that collecting taxes on exports like patente was against the Constitution of the United States, which prohibits to impose taxes on exports. Right. So instead of going through a class action suit, since I was part of the Junta de Comercio Exterior, which was made according to request by one of my mentors, the most important one, Don Hector Ledesma, from Banco Popular, we were able to pass what used to be Act 131 of 1999, which extends for the payment of patente municipal on any export from a foreign country, from a foreign trade zone to a foreign country, I meant. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that was very important because imagine, then you would prefer to ship directly to your foreign clients versus going through a warehouse in the United States in order not to pay the patente.
Right. And you also didn't have to pay property taxes.
Well, that happened in 2004. Okay. I passed at 159 because...
I like the way you say, I passed.
Well, I helped pass.
You pushed it. You thought about it.
I pushed it very hard, municipality of Ponce.
Persevering.
Yes. And remember, again, the federal statute mentioned that they couldn't collect property taxes on merchandise, foreign merchandise in a foreign trade zone or domestic merchandise to... admitted to the zone to be exported. So what we did, we expanded the foreign trade zone concept to have the same benefits as a manufacturer under what used to be Act 73, okay? Which means you would have no payment of property taxes on inventory and equipment, not only foreign, but also domestic.
Right.
And then we included in Puerto Rico in order to develop the properties, because in 1999, we expanded foreign trade zone number 7 to cover all of PRITCO properties in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, every PRITCO property.
Every PRITCO property. So so you needed to develop those properties, and to do so, we offered a 60% exemption on CRIM on any property, private or wholly owned by the FTC operator. And that really made the difference, because while you were going to invest in security, this and that, in order to improve and to comply with the federal security standards, which I am also one of the experts in that area in Puerto Rico, well, you will have an economic base on what you have from the insurance companies. So you would pay less in insurance because you were CBP certified, you know? And then came the CITIPAT, Customs and Trade Partnership Against Terrorism. And again, NRI was the company who did most of the CITIPAT projects in Puerto
Rico. NRI is Nestor Reyes.
Nestor Reyes Inc., sorry, yes. So not only did I develop, and I was also a professor at Sacred Heart University in the meantime during the nights in the 80s, but we believe in creating the laws that benefit the economic development in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And still today, if you import or export or you manufacture and export and you don't have a foreign trade zone, you're losing a lot of advantages and your competitive advantage against your competitors.
Okay, well, we run out of time in the second segment. We'll expand a little bit, make sure that people understand. That was a mouthful, and we'll make sure.
Sorry.
But the critical thing, we'll make sure that, Edmundo Rodriguez is my guest. He's the one that's been explaining his role as custom broker. And we'll be back after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, your host. Reflections on WIPR Allegro 3191.3 FM. I hardly ever say that. Hector's smiling.